Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
When sports news breaks, don't ask these guys to fix it.
Nothing's a big deal.
Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson on WEEI.
Former White Sox legend A.J. Pierzynski talking about the ramifications of Rafael Devers, who, if you haven't heard, was traded from the Red Sox yesterday to the San Francisco Giants. If you had yet to hear, what is wrong with you and where have you been? Well, wherever you've been and whatever's wrong with you, we're very happy to have you with us here on Boston Sports Original 93.7 FM, WEEI, WEEI.com, our fabulous network of affiliates, and of course the Odyssey app, which you can download and use at your leisure to check out all of our radio shows day and night and our fabulous podcasts like Hashtag Dork, Six Rings and Football Things, Baseball Isn't Boring, and so much more. Mego, do you have a particular trade in mind when I say most shocking trades in the history of Boston sports? Is there one particular trade that comes to mind?
I got to say, for me personally, Perk trade was pretty shocking.
Okay.
That was one where I was like, damn. But there's so many Celtics ones, even going back to trading Garnett and Paul Pierce. And in that matter, it was kind of like an agreed upon thing because it was the end of the road. But I think the Perk one was a pretty big one to me.
The Perk one, the Kendrick Perkins trade, was one of the biggest surprises to our Megan Onalini in terms of shocking Boston sports trades. Well, let's see if it happened to make the old weekly list of Fitzy's Five coming up.
And now we go deep inside the mind of a mad fan.
In case you haven't noticed, I'm weird. I'm a weirdo.
Where we rank him up, or is it count him down?
What the hell's going on out here?
Ah, fuck it. Doesn't really matter either way. Here's the Fitzy Five. Fitzy Five.
Yes, that's right. Our weekly countdown of five things that are on my mind, and it seemed only germane to today's topic du jour, the biggest topic in all of Boston sports, if not the national scene as well. Shocking Boston sports trades. The world was shocked yesterday when Rafael Devers was dealt at the end of a Red Sox sweep of the Yankees on Father's Day to the Giants. Does that make the list? Does Kendrick Perkins trade make the list? Mego, I put together a list of the five that I thought were the most shocking. The only caveat to all this is that it had to be within the last like 100 years. We can't do the Babe Ruth trade because I don't think... I feel like that's... we're past the statute of limitations.
I think you're being ageist, but I'll allow it.
All right, just this once. I apologize to all of our centenarians that are listening to the radio show right now. All right, Stanley, if you have the audio ready, let's go with trade number five.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fry. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And a radio.
Yes, that would be number five. The Los Angeles Dodgers, a team that have come to the rescue of your Boston Red Sox one and many occasions, picking up their giant bloated contracts and sending back anything in return, or mostly just kind of like the San Francisco Giants did, absorbing huge, exorbitant contracts for the Boston Red Sox. I call this one the chicken and beer undoing. Back in late 2011, Carl Crawford, who was maybe the most miserable person to ever put on a Red Sox uniform with his awful 7-year deal coming in out of Tampa. Adrian Gonzalez, who was a very good baseball player but complained like a mofo. And, of course, Josh Beckett, the ringleader, if you will, and World Series champion two times over, no less, of the chicken and beer scandal alongside John Lester and John Lackey. This was a shocker because, A, it was a lot of talent that was sent across the country, and B, the fact that someone wanted to, I think everybody thought there was no chance they would possibly be able to unload one, if not all three of those contracts, and the Dodgers swooped in and did it willingly, and never fully reaped the benefits. This was a massive coup for the Sox.
Yeah, in a way, I feel like it kind of laid the blueprint for all these deals that they like to make now, where they're like, we just got to clean house. We just got to move this guy out, move that guy out. So I think it's very germane to the deal that we've been talking about all day. I do think now, like, how long is the chicken and beer going to be synonymous with just absolute checking out and failure in Boston sports? Like, when you say chicken and beer in Boston sports, it's basically akin to saying, like, 1, 2, 3, Cancun.
Precisely. It was, what a mess. That the 7-21 they went over the final month of the season to blow a massive lead with all that potential in a year that absolutely should have ended in postseason, let alone potentially a World Series visit. All right, moving on. Number four.
Drafted by the team in 1998, played the last 15 seasons, was somebody that I was hoping was going to retire with the Celtics. That's only happened a handful of times where you have somebody who's drafted, plays 15, 16 years, same team, retires. So just to see him on another team would be weird. KG's another guy that's going to get his number retired. I thought this was 35 cents in the dollar.
That would be analysis that was provided on draft night back in 2013 from Bill Simmons on ESPN to a deal that at the time people wondered aloud on many Reddit forums like the one I have pulled up right here in front of me. Is the Celtics net trade in 2013 the worst trade of all time?
No.
The spoiler alert, nope, it wasn't. At the time, though, Boston sending Jason Terry, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce after they were eliminated by the New York Knicks in the postseason, as we saw the run of the big three coming down. It was really the big two at that point because Ray Allen had left and gone, took his talents to South Beach to join LeBron and Bosch and company in Miami. The luck had run out. The luck of the Irish had run out. It was time for these guys to move on. And in fact, at the time, I even thought, this isn't heartbreaking. This is a selfless gesture on behalf of Pierce and Garnett. Trade us away, get back some players and some assets and some picks so you can rebuild your organization. And at the time, people were stunned, like, what are the Celtics going to do with Keith Boggins and Chris Joseph and Marshawn Brooks and Gerald Wallace and Chris Humphreys? Nothing. They would play them until it was time to get rid of them all, absorb their contracts, eat some money. But with all of the first-round draft picks they got mega, they took, I don't know, Jaylen Brown, and then the next year, Jason Tatum. Thank you, Mikhail Prokhorov, for basically rebooting the entire Celtics organization.
Absolutely. Danny Ainge gets so much credit for putting together that big three, but the way that he moved on from the big three, as painful as it was because everybody loved that era of Celtics basketball, is more admirable, I think. And setting yourself up for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and hitting on both of them in back-to-back drafts, that rebuild by the Celtics is so, I mean, it's hard for me to like look back now properly in hindsight and say like what a shocking move that was by the Celtics to trade those guys, because it worked out so well. Now you look back on it and you're like, you really only had one down year, and then you mm-hmm. had some bridge years which were really fun because the teams overachieved with IT, and then you really get into like the Kyrie and the contending situations.
Right. One bad year, a couple of fun years, and then, of course, this great run, which could be on hold right now given the surgery for Jaylen Brown and the major injury to Jason Tatum. Okay, let's move to number three.
After scoring 50 touchdowns in just over three seasons in New England, Randy Moss is going back to Minnesota. The Patriots dealt Moss to the Vikings Wednesday, giving Moss the exit he expected all along and sending him back to the place where he became a superstar.
How stunned were you when the 2010 Patriots, then switching to the two tight end alignment with Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, and still featuring Wes Welker and also Randy Moss with their dynamite attack out of the blue when Moss didn't get the contract he wanted, argued, whined, and metaphorically shot his way out of town, was traded back to the Minnesota Vikings, and then the Patriots had to turn around and a week later play the Minnesota Vikings. Spoiler alert, they had no trouble beating them that day. I think that one, considering how great Moss had been, people never thought there was any way he would possibly get shipped out of town, let alone back to the team he came from.
Yeah, when I think of Belichick at the height of his power, it's really this era. And it's when you look back on, what is it, NFL films, when they have him on the sideline talking about, like, I can't get through to these guys.
Yep.
But the way that he was able to transition that moment of the first chapter of the dynasty to the second chapter of the dynasty and really reset the roster. And Moss wasn't the only move that did that. Obviously, a lot of that work was done through the drafts and unfortunately couldn't be continued past, I don't know, 2017, 2016. But it was indicative of the way that Belichick would just move on from guys that we saw with countless other Patriots and even the best wide receiver that they ever had in that building.
Yeah, I don't think it was because Randy Moss didn't want to play first base. I think he just wanted a new contract. He wanted one final deal. Didn't get it because Belichick, famous for being out a year early as opposed to a year too late. Still hurt, though, because everyone loved rooting for the Moss man, the straight cash homie in New England. And now let's go to number two, maybe the worst deal in the history of the Red Sox.
It's a phony budget because they don't really have to have a budget. But to get rid of Mookie Betts, to let Mookie Betts go under any circumstance now seems like the dumbest decision of the last, I don't know, 3 to 5 years in baseball, maybe in all of sports.
That was Michael Wilbon on a COVID distanced edition of Pardon the Interruption. Everyone remembers where they were when they heard the Red Sox were finally dealing away Mookie Betts, the first move of the Chaim Bloom era, netted Jeter Downs, Alex Verdugo, and Connor Wong. What a deal for literally one of the best baseball players of the last 50 years.
Yeah, we started out the show talking about the comparisons between the Devers deal and this Mookie Betts deal. And I will say, as bad as that continues to age, that thing ages like milk in Florida. I still think that the way that we feel about the Devers deal, if you could put yourself back in your shoes at that time with the Mookie deal, this team had more goodwill around it. The ownership group had more goodwill around it, where you would look at it and say, oh, this feels really bad. This feels dumb, but let's see where it goes, because you won the World Series 18 months ago. You don't have that today.
No, you do not have that amnesty. You do not have that goodwill. You do not have those credits. You don't have that carte blanche. But still, I think we all may have seen that deal coming, Mego. But even when it happened, it still was shocking that they'd be willing to move on from such a generational talent and that they would get legitimately dimes on the dollar for somebody like that.
And by the way, give them to an organization that's always going to be in the spotlight. Like, it's not like you traded them away to, I don't know, like even somewhere like
Arizona.
Cleveland. Yeah, Arizona is a great one where it's not like they're going to be on Sunday Night Baseball all the time. It's the freaking Dodgers.
Yeah, who every time you play him, he absolutely kicks the crap out of you as well. And finally, to me, and I think to a lot of fans, regardless of how that season ended up, the most shocking trade in Boston sports in recent years.
All right, I'm on my senior class trip. I'm here from Lexington, Mass., home state of Paul Revere, John Hancock, and Nomar!
I'll still never get over Nomar getting traded to the Chicago Cubs in a deal that ultimately netted the Red Sox Doug Minkiewicz and Orlando Cabrera, two integral players thanks to their hustle and amazing defense, who helped the Red Sox reverse the curse, ending 86 years of sadness, defeat, and futility, the greatest ALCS of all time, the greatest comeback of all time, the greatest Red Sox team of all time. Yet it cost fans one of their all-time favorite players, a guy, the ultimate nickname, the ultimate hustler. Everybody loved Nomar. He's just, sadly, Mego, we came up with this term years ago on the Rich Keefe show, the Club Marino, where players that never ultimately won championships but who deserved them reside.
Like
that's where
Charles
they get
Barkley.
Yes, exactly. Like Dan Marino. We nicknamed it Club Marino. Nomar, sadly, is one of the true greats, one of the GOATs in the Boston edition of Club Marino. And I remember how sad I was that Saturday when they dealt him. And that Sunday night I watched Sports Final on Channel 4. Tears.
Yeah, I just wonder if, I don't know, 5 or 10 years from now, if we look back on a list like this and Mookie takes the number one spot. Like, depending on how much more he does just for his own personal resume, I think that that could just become the one that goes down in history as like, that was the worst trade since Babe Ruth.
Worst and most shocking. Dan Ball, Stiz Grimey, let's go behind the glass. Boys, What do we think of the list, and are there any other ones that come to mind immediately in terms of terrible, shocking trades in recent Boston history?
So the Devers has not cracked the list yet, is what I'm
under. Not yet.
It is not as the top five. Okay, that's fair. I'm very curious to see where that one ends up within the context of some of the memorable ones you mentioned. The one that came to me as the puckhead was the Joe Thornton trade. I thought the move, given how much of a part of the centerpiece, essentially, of the team that he was one that came to mind for me. But strong list otherwise. That was the one major one that jumped out.
Yeah, Dan, who was the general manager of the Bruins at the time who dealt him away and was not a big fan of Joe Thornton?
I'm grabbing that information, and I will relay that back to you.
That's okay, because I know Marco Sturm, obviously, was part of the deal back. Fine player. Hopefully he's a much better coach. Joe Thornton, NHL legend who played until he was 41. Yeah, obviously that guy didn't have legs.
You got Mike O'Connell, by the way, was the name that lives on in infamy.
The legend himself, Mike O'Connell. God, go to a bar in Quincy and yell out Mike O'Connell and watch three guys that are off-duty cops raise their hand. Stiz, any to you?
Well, I'll just say we'll revisit the list soon when the Celtics trade Jaylen Brown.
Stop
Oh! Oh! Wow!
Just trying to hurt people's feelings today.
Well, he knows he can get away with it because Hart's on vacation.
Okay.
Ones that made my honorable mention before we go out and catch our final break and then cross over with Arcan and wrap up today's Devers-centric show. Garoppolo to the 49ers, just because we never thought it would happen, let alone on a Monday night for a second round pick when we had heard Cleveland had offered two. First, Devers to the Giants. Doc Rivers to the Clippers in 2013. That happened the same week that Aaron Hernandez was arrested for allegedly murdering people. So that was a little bit of a shocking week in Boston sports. Gronk to the Bucks in 2020, as first reported by your pal Karen Garigian. And John Lester to the A's in 2014, in addition to Joe Thornton to the Sharks. Hated that move. Hated it. And you could argue there have been ripple effects of the Lester trade as well. That changed the way they do business. And I feel like they're still trying to make up for the loss of that trade, which is, I guess, probably affected the sale move and so many others. But there are your five, Mego. Chicken and beer undoing. Pearson.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Arnett to the Nets, Moss to the Vikings, Mookie to the Dodgers, and Noma. We'll get back to your calls, your texts, and your reactions to the list, and your final thoughts on Rafael Devers before we move on to the Christian Arcan Show here on New England Sports Original WEEI.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.